Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayera, which begins, Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe Vayomer el Bani Hashem. It's always interesting to note that the sixth parak of Shmos starts in Parshas Shmos, and then Vayera begins with the second pasuk. Seems almost strange. Why is that? Now, normally we don't really mind that much. After all, the idea of chapters of Prakim were set aside by the non-Jews, by the Christian translators. But I once heard Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky, Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva of Selshor, who quoted his grandfather, Rav Yaakov Zatzal, who noted that technically this week's parasha should have started with the idea of the end of last week's parasha, Atas Sireh, you're going to see that which I'm going to do. But since those words imply punishment, as noted by Rashi, it would be improper to start a parasha that sets the practical geula in motion with that pasuk, and so things get delayed for another pasuk. We continue with the parasha, and we read the four languages of redemption, Votzeisi, V'itzalti, V'galti, V'lakachti, and we're told, V'lakachti Eschem li la'am. Now, why were the people able to listen to Aaron in last week's parasha, but now we're told, V'lo shamu al Moshe mikotzer ruach. They weren't able to hear Moshe's voice because of kotzer ruach, because of a shortness of spirit. So Rav Yashav Zatzal explained that previously, Aaron came with a message of freedom, and not one of responsibility. Now, Moshe was coming with a message of servitude to Hashem, and so therefore, at that point, the people became much more skeptical before they committed themselves. After this situation comes into play, we take a second moment to give us a brief history of the Jewish people and their lineage, up until Moshe and Aaron. We're told, Eila Rashi Beisavu, some of these are the stories of their homes. Why does the Torah go into such detail of these families? Don't we know the information from Parshas Vayigash, which tells us who came down to Mitzrayim? So Rav Mendel Blachman Shalita, one of the Rambam in Yeshivat Gerem B'Yavne, explained that the Moshe, whom we have seen so far in Sefer Shmos, is some kind of Superman. He's the one who has unnamed parents, who emanates a light upon his birth, Nismale Abayas Kulo Ora, who gets saved by the Nile River, by the or by an Egyptian princess, who lives in the king's palace, and ultimately is destined to be the savior of the Jewish people. We don't have a personal encounter with the human side of Moshe. And what the Torah offers us in this list is a personal glimpse of Moshe. We now know his familial context, being with the families of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. We now know he has a brother-in-law, a brother married with kids. Moshe is now seen as being Moshe, the Superman of Rabbeinu, but rather as Moshe, the normal human being, who has a normal life with a normal family. We even see one of his nephews, Eliezer, marrying the daughter of Putiel. Rashi tells us where was Yisro and Oved Avodah Zarah. Every normal family has a crazy cousin. And this gives us a glimpse into the making of Moshe from a simple start into greatness. Sometimes we think you're only going to be able to be great if you start off great. Eila Rashi Beisavo, some says Reb Lachman, teaches us that that's not the case. We're also told by Yivla Mate Aaron Esmato, some Aaron goes ahead and he performs the magic trick with the staffs, and it says the staff of Aaron that swallows their staffs. Now Rashi cites the Gemara in Shabbos that notes that although the sticks had turned into snakes, it was after Aaron's had returned to being a stick that it swallowed the others. It was a nes besoch nes, but why do we need a nes besoch nes, a miracle within miracles here? So the Sefer Panim Chadashos Batorah suggests that when a person depends on something and it rebels against him, it's doubly defeating. The classic example is one's walking stick. It's supposed to help him, and if it's used to best and beat him, it's a double punishment, and that's what happened here. When the staff of Aaron swallowed the other sticks, they became part of it. And when that staff brought on the Makos, and then eventually the Egyptian defeat and drowning in Yam Suf, it was doubly defeating. Yeah, they got punished, but by their own staffs, which made it twice as bad and twice as embarrassing. We also are introduced to seven of the 10 Makos this week. And one of them, which we spend a lot of time on in the Torah, is the idea of the Tzvardeya, the frogs. And we're told, Uvacha uvamecho v'tanurecha, that their frogs are going to be in Paro's nation and in his ovens. And the Gemara Pesachim on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis notes that Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah used the frogs as the basis for a Kal V'chomer argument for guidance as to how to proceed in regard to the threat that they faced concerning being thrown into the fire. That is to say, in their time, they were thrown into a fire as well. They argued that if the frogs were not commanded to give up their lives for Kiddush Hashem, and did so anyway, choosing to go into the ovens, then they, who were supposed to engage in Kiddush Hashem, certainly needed to proceed that way. So the Shagas Ari notes that the Kal V'chomer is a weak Kal V'chomer, as the frogs were commanded to go everywhere. How can an argument be made otherwise? And the Vilna Gaon, who was listening and was 17 at the time, responded that although the group of frogs was commanded to go everywhere, each frog could have argued that he or she would go into the bed or in the closet, but leave the oven open to some other frog. But no frog did that, which set up the rule for the Kal V'chomer of the future. In fact, the Shagas Ari accepted the answer and was quite proud of the Vilna Gaon for offering it. Before the next series of Makos, Dever, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Paro and he says, look, Derech Shloshes Yamim Nelech Mamidbar. Let's go into the desert for 3 days. And why was it okay for Moshe to lie to Paro? He didn't want to go to the desert for 3 days. What did he want to do? He wanted to go ahead and make sure that Paro would grant the Jewish freedom. And so Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita explained that when a master allows his servant to serve a different religion, in essence, he is giving him personal freedom. For within the Jewish religion, we're told that we are to be Avdei Hashem, Ki Avodayim, V'lo Avadim La'Avadim. We're supposed to be servants to Hashem exclusively. And so getting that permission is just a nice way of saying, we're going to give you freedom. Finally, at the end of the parsha, we read about the Makah Barad, Vasherlo, Sam Libo, and those who didn't care about the word of Hashem. Now, how did somebody not even fear Moshe's promise? He'd already been knocked with 6 Makos, and each time Moshe was proved correct. To totally ignore seems personally, quite frankly, impossible. So the late Lutzker Rav, Rav Zalman Saratsky and Shali, Ezecha Tzadik Livracha, explained that when their science explained things in an opposing manner, they couldn't accept anything that Moshe Rabbeinu offered. Sometimes you can get so enslaved to the current line of thinking and the current way of functioning that you forget to see the nace in front of you. What a critical message for us to think about, especially Bisman Azeh. Finally, we approach the Haftorah this week from Yecheskel, and where Hashem knocks Paro because he declares, Asher Amar Li Ori V'Ani Asi Esini, the Nile is mine and I made it. Rav Aaron Cutler noted that Paro, who is not a fool, actually he was quite an intelligent and wise man, was done in by his haughtiness and wickedness to lead him to believe his own hype that he was a god. Rav Aaron notes that Minas, or heresy, is also always built on foolishness. The haughty believes his own haughtiness, and that leads him to make obvious mistakes in his own thinking. And this type of error brought down many world dominators, from Paro to Nebuchadnezzar to Hiram, and taken their god complexes and turned them into subpar mortals. And the same can be found in modern times. It's not simply a difference of an idea. It's an error of intelligence. We can do better. We can hope for better. And when we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead us, and we will experience not only great days, but a Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umenucha L'Chaye Olamim, Shabbat Shalom to all.